Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Look, Jor, I'm dancing. It's not a seizure.
I'm sorry.
Don't call 911. Don't do that again.
I almost called Lori.
Oh, happy Monday. Paul and Jordana, Dave Josephson producing today and getting some sleep. DJ, you're actually managing to get some sleep. How is your wife? Is Katrina getting sleep?
Yes. You know, last night we had 4.5 hours uninterrupted.
Ooh,
which was that's the best
I think we've done
in the last 3+ weeks.
Good for you. So I'm sound asleep somehow, in spite of the apocalyptic scene outside the window with continuous lightning, the roar of thunder. My wife nudges me at 3 a.m. and she goes, "Are you seeing this?" I said, "No. I was asleep."
Sleeping.
She goes, "Look at the lightning."
I mean, you got some great shots, though. I saw it on Twitter.
I love the weather, but I also love to sleep. Oh, boy. So a local school superintendent in the West Metro under fire for some comments he made recently, basically saying that there are more risks to students and their families from the regular seasonal flu than there are from coronavirus. We're going to talk to somebody at 5:30, an expert, to try to clear that up. Both are obviously very contagious, but health experts.
Yeah, well, I think it's clear that, you know, that's been refuted since the beginning of the pandemic. But yes, we will once again ask a medical professional about these claims made by Minnetonka Public Schools Superintendent Dennis Peterson at a meeting Thursday evening.
And look, skeptics are quick to point out that, you know, young people generally don't have the worst case outcomes, which is true. However, they can still transmit if they pick this up wherever, school or at the mall, they can still bring it home, right? I mean, kids aren't living at school. They go back and forth. They can, in theory, infect school bus drivers. They can infect grandma or Uncle Ned at home. But kids under the age of 18 are less likely to develop the severe COVID-19 symptoms. More than 97,000 kids, Jor, have tested positive for coronavirus in the last 2 weeks of July. That's about a 40% increase in cases among children all across the states and cities studied. And recent studies have suggested teenagers can transmit the virus just as much as adults, while kids younger than the age of 5 can carry a higher viral load. So even though they may not have a worst case outcome with all these terrible symptoms, they can still pass it on. And that's why a lot of parents are still concerned. You know, nobody wants to use their kids as a guinea pig, right?
And it's also the being together in crowded spaces. You know, we look, you can send them with masks, you can tell them to social distance, but as we saw that picture in Dallas, Georgia, that they're not going to, that people are not going, kids are not going to stay apart from each other. And the fact is, the more we are in these crowded spaces, the more we pass disease. So it just prolongs COVID-19's exposure, it prolongs infections, it increases infection rate. So I get why parents don't want to send their kids back to school. I understand this. I understand the risks of it. As a parent, I see the other side, too. And if my children were offered the opportunity to go back, I would definitely consider sending them back. But I do see why people don't want to, because you're right. I mean, putting them in public like that just increases their risk of getting COVID.
So the governor has left this up to each local superintendent when and how to reopen schools based on conditions on the ground. Yesterday, I had a chance to talk to Senate Majority Leader Paul Gazelka, and I asked about his reaction to the governor's plans to reopen schools.
He put in a bunch of matrix that made it impossible for many schools to open. I talked to a large Hennepin County district that is outside of Minneapolis that is not going to open their high school because they cannot. They want to, but based on the social distancing of 6 feet, it just doesn't work. And so they're stuck. They can't open when they think they should be open. And so it's really disappointing. I've been passionate about saying kids in school is essential for our future. And if they're not in school, they're falling behind. And we have to figure out a way to do it. I think we've had one death under age 20. That person, I believe, was under age 5. They weren't even in school. And if they're not in school, they're falling behind. Most kids and the parents and what they're trying to figure out with daycare, kids of color fall even farther behind for whatever reason. And we've got to figure out a way to get them in school. And this does not do that.
That was Senator Paul Gazelka during a chat yesterday about schools. Yeah, we want to send our kids back. We want our kids to be safe. And when they come home from school, we want our extended families to remain safe. So I understand. And again, can obviously see both sides of an impossible situation, Jor.
But everybody should remember, this is temporary. There will be a vaccine for this. It's probably just one school year. We will have this under control certainly by the 2022 school year or the beginning of the 2021, next September. Things will look different. And if your kid has to stay out of school for a few months, it is not the apocalypse. It's not like they're going to fall totally behind and not be able to recover. This too shall pass, friends. Don't let anybody scare you into thinking that one wrong decision or staying out of school a few months is going to ruin your kid. Your kid is going to be just fine.
That said, I'd like to freeze myself and wake up in 2023. I wish we had that. Would somebody quickly invent that technology? I'd like to take the next year off. This might be a good time to work on our relationships. Many of us stuck at home. It's a good time to maybe get on better terms with the better half. When we come back, therapist and doctor Lori Watson gives us a few pointers. She's coming up next.
4:20 on a gorgeous Monday afternoon in Minneapolis, St. Paul, Minnesota, and really all over Minnesota, North Dakota, South Dakota. We reach far and wide, my friend. So does this pandemic, and it has gotten people to the point where it is testing relationships. You might feel like you're in a dark place, like your relationship is feeling a little negative, not just stale. Well, joining us on the CenterPoint Energy Home Service Plus hotline is Lori Watson. She is a fully licensed psychotherapist, and you can find her podcast on 4Play Radio. She talks to us both about sex and relationship topics. And she is, we're talking today about that negativity and how to get past it. Lori, so glad to have you back on the show.
Hey, Lori.
Thank you so much. Hey, Paul. Good to be here. You know, you're right. The negativity, you know, we're all just so suffering, aren't we, with COVID?
Yeah, we are.
And tired of this and tired of not seeing our friends and getting out there. But relationships are being strained, for sure. You know, we get into kind of a negative cycle with our partner. And most of the time when we're trapped in that power struggle, we think, oh, you know, our partner doesn't care about our needs. And we often can tend to complain instead of really communicate our needs. So, you know, when we offer a complaint, it just doesn't go anywhere. Our partner will shut down and, you know, maybe turn off. And so I thought today we could talk about a better way to communicate our needs, a plainer way, so that our partner really knows how to meet our needs.
What I've noticed, Jordana has been picking on me past couple of weeks. And I,
well, you know, you're very annoying, and we've been spending a lot of time together, and I just can't take it anymore, Paul.
I'm going to cancel you guys.
One of my better habits. But are you better off giving somebody a compliment? Like, I'll compliment Jordana on her hair or, you know, the last introduction for a guest. And so you butter somebody up first, then you go in for the kill and make it transactional. Here's what you can do better. But
a positive, negative, positive sort of sandwich.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No?
Yeah, but I would see through that. I would say, well, you're just buttering me up.
No, you wouldn't.
And
no, you
better.
No.
He thinks he's so good.
Arsenic?
Thank you, Paul. Bad idea?
Sorry.
Yeah.
Bad idea. No, you know, it's not a bad idea, Paul. I mean, certainly offering somebody a balance of what you need from them and what you like about them is better than just always negative, 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 right?
Yeah, amen to that.
You know, I think that when we ask for our needs to be met, we have to make it really clear about what we're asking for. So many people say things like, you know, you just don't spend any time with me anymore. Or, you know, in my world, I'm a sex therapist too, so it's like, you know, we never have sex. So rather than the complaint or the, you know, I just want you to really understand me, which is so amorphous, right? We have no idea what the person means by that. I'd like people to think about making requests of their partner that are very specific. So when you reach out to your partner and you want something, think about what is something that is concrete that will make me happy. You know, I want my partner to pay attention to me more. Well, what would that look like? You know, if they would just come in and sit down with me at the end of the day and hang out for a little bit, that would be great. So ask for that. You know, if, first of all, it's concrete and specific. Will you sit with me on the porch after work and maybe share a glass of wine before we start our crazy evening? You know, if that's a possibility. And be positive about it. Maybe say, you know, I love enjoying time with you and really just being with you. And then ask with a time frame. So it's maybe every Tuesday and Thursday, could you come home early at 6 so that we sit together? Or let's break. If we're both working from home with COVID, let's break by 6 and go out on the porch and sit together on Tuesdays and Thursdays and just take 10 or 15 minutes to share our day and be together. And that is both concrete, it's positive, and it has a time frame associated with it. And that's a true request. And our partner also has the freedom to say yes or no to it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Laurie, look, all of us are anxious. Many of us are depressed. We don't know what's going to happen from day to day. I mean, isn't it incumbent on all of us to give each other, including our spouses, our significant others, give each other a little more space, a little more consideration, a little more grace, right? It doesn't take much now to set people off. All of us, right, are on that hair trigger. What would you suggest to kind of de-escalate and some things that maybe work for you and your clients, things you counsel as a way of stepping back from the abyss and not doing hand-to-hand combat during these crazy times?
I love that. Well, I think you're right that, you know, we have needs for closeness and connection, and we have needs for space. And right now we're all a little in tight quarters, a little close. So kind of that idea of we do need some space and we do need a bit of grace because we are all on so much edge. What I say to people is rank the complaint in terms of a scale on 1 to 10. And if it's something little, which to me is 1 through 7, you know, just forget about it. Don't complain about it. Only deal with things that are 8, 9, and 10, things that are important. But check yourself. You know, is this something that I can just let go because it's not going to be meaningful? Although I did have one woman who said, no, it's a 10. He spits his toothpaste in the shower. He brushes his teeth in the shower, and that's disgusting. It's a 10. And
I said, oh, boy, I couldn't be married to her. I brush my teeth in the shower, too. I couldn't do it.
Do you?
Right. Yeah. Saves
Why?
Time. Saves time.
Yeah,
really?
Saves time. Absolutely.
It's no big deal. And it's toothpaste. It's all going down the drain. People do a lot worse in the shower, my friend.
Oh.
That's what I told her, Georgiana. No, I said it could have been a lot worse.
Thank you, Lori, for having my back on that.
Wow.
That's facts. See, the things you learn on the Paul and Jordana show, okay? Don't get, just get over if he spits his toothpaste in the shower, but if he's picking his toenails and leaving them around the house, then you have a real problem.
Is that a 10?
That might be a 10. We did an advice question on that once, and it was, she ended up cleaning them up and putting them in his coffee the next morning, which I thought was a fantastic solution to that.
Ooh, that was really mean.
That's harsh. I know. That's harsh. They're probably divorced. He didn't do that again.
They're probably divorced.
But I love
when you think what you're thinking of, because sometimes we think problems are so big, but you're saying rank them and anything above a 7. Because, oh, honey, I have gone to bat after those 5s, but I should release anything that is not a 7 or higher. I like
that
advice.
That's actually, I think just 8, 9, and 10. That's it. That's all we talk about. Okay. You know, everything else, we can just let it go, you know, because it's crazy to argue over that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Jordana, you're a 10. You're an 11.
He's such a jerk. It's lucky we're not in the same room. I'm sorry, Lori. You don't have to mediate this relationship anymore, but you're wonderful.
Week,
I think
next week you guys bring a problem and we'll talk about it.
Okay.
I like that.
Where
ours.
Do we begin?
Yes.
One of the things you do that's a 9 that annoys me.
Exactly.
Uh-huh. Lori, you're
Watson.
The best. Go ahead.
Yep.
Foreplay
Thank
Radio
you,
is her podcast. Thanks for joining us, Lori.
Okay, bye-bye.
I'm going to start my list.
Well, can you edit it just
tens
a little bit?
For
yeah,
you.
Eights, nines, and tens. It's still a long list.
Boy, therapy live on air. Ooh, that'd be scary.
Yeah. We had a little weather therapy last night. It was a 10 in terms of apocalyptic weather. It almost seemed like we were under attack, just... These storms stalled for the better part of 3-4 hours. A quick recap. And by the way, did you have big hail at your house? Did you have any damage at your house? Send us a text right now with your first name, your hometown, and the size of the hail.
Your social security number.
How much rain you had in the rain gauge. Yeah, Visa number.
Your bank account.
Yeah, please. Your Nigerian routing number. When we come back, a recap on a crazy night of weather. And by the way, you can always text us, 651-989-9226. We'll be back with a quick weather update next. That's good.
Oh, yeah. Boy.
More screaming.
Yeah. We should have put that in the song. It's very effective.
Yeah. I love a rainy night.
It was
night
scary,
too.
Paul. It was scary.
Well, it was like a strobe effect. I mean, that continuous lightning. Okay.
I got more. Thanks. I got lots more.
Do you?
David's
really?
Got PTSD.
Surprises. I think a lot of people are groggy. I'm a little groggy. I didn't sleep well last night with the storms, and I think a lot of people are recovering today from just an epic night of wild weather. It was apocalyptic. It's rare to see continuous lightning, certainly here in Minnesota, a little more common Texas, Kansas, the heart of Tornado Alley when you get these big supercells. But it was very, very unusual. By the way, if you have any reports you want to share, text us, 651-989-9226. 5.5
Paul,
inches of rain. Go ahead.
I was surprised that it just never ended. I thought, oh, okay, this is the big blast, and then it's going to move on. I must have woken up around 5 times last night, and it felt like the storm was still right over my head. Was it just sitting there, or were these a series of different storms?
There were 3 waves of storms, 3 separate waves of storms that developed along a warm frontal boundary that was draped right over the Twin Cities metro, each one dumping out torrential rain and hail. Reports of baseball-size hail in Loretto. That's 2 3/4-inch diameter. You don't want to mess with baseball-size hail. Northfield also had 3-inch hail. But most of the action, most of the hail and the heaviest rains, 1 to 2 months worth of rain, western and southwestern suburbs. Southern suburbs also got clipped. I can't. Can I say this?
Go ahead.
One of our techs, I don't know. Can I read this? I can do anything once. No rain in Green Isle. Is this the same guy? No. Another person said, not a damn thing. We're drier than a popcorn fart. Where's the rain, weatherman, Paul? I've never heard that. Drier than a popcorn fart. Okay. All right.
You're going to use it now.
Well, and look, the rain was fickle. Chanhassen picked up 5.5 inches. I saw some 6-inch rainfall reports. We live out near Excelsior. There was 4.25 inches of rain. My neighbor has a really nice new rain gauge, and so he shares rainfall with me. Tom reported 4.25 inches. And again, that's 1 to 2 months worth of rain in one night. Egg size hail in Buffalo. And in Buffalo, jeez, out in Wright County, Jor, they had 3 different outbreaks of golf ball size hail. Usually you get one line of storms, it's done. In this case, no, it was crazy. Trees uprooted in Bloomington, fair amount of wind damage. I guess the insurance company's not having a great day of it. I'm sure a lot of claims related to hail damage. And Cody Matz over at Fox 9, he counted 15,000 lightning strikes over 3 hours. 5,000 an hour, that works out to an average of about 1 to 2 lightning flashes every second as those storms, at the height of the storms, during the wee hours of the morning. That doesn't happen very often, not here in Minnesota. And again, normally you get that surge of thunder and it fades away. But there was so much lightning, it was a continuous roar, which it was almost apocalyptic. I don't know if you went outside last night, but just hearing the roar in the distance, crazy. That's kind of what it sounded like, only worse.
I did, you know, the dog freaks out, but she was in bed with one of my kids. So I did send them a text at like 2 a.m. Everybody okay? Because I figured they were the dog was keeping them up and I wanted them to sleep. And the one who was with the dog said, we're okay. She's freaking out a little bit. But she's you know, she's snuggling in. So I went to get her and let my kids sleep. So it happens.
You text each other inside the house? You do that?
Well, I wasn't sure who was up. And I figured if they're up, they probably went down and got their phones and are up, you know, for the storm. And only one of them responded. Thank God the others were asleep. I didn't want to wake them, you know.
Well, that proves that you're a little bit younger than me. Just a little.
Why?
You're
you
kind of catching up, but...
You don't text your kids in the house?
We just shout. We yell.
You just yell down. Yeah. Well, it's the middle of the night. I didn't want to
It's satisfying. But yeah, a long night and probably the biggest severe weather outbreak in the metro of the summer season. It's been pretty quiet up until last night, all things considered. No tornadoes.
More on the horizon?
No, it looks pretty quiet this week. Okay. And next week, we're back in the 70s. It'll be in the 80s for highs, Jor, tomorrow through Sunday, a few storms Friday, Saturday, and next week back into the 70s. I don't think we've seen the last of the 90s. I think we'll eventually see a few more 90s, maybe as we get closer to Labor Day. But, I also saw a nugget here that made me do a triple take. They're thinking about naming heat waves.
Oh.
Just like we name tropical storms and hurricanes.
Sure.
A recent study, Duke University researchers estimated that during the last decade, the lower 48 states averaged 12,000 heat-related premature deaths every year. And NOAA, the Weather Service folks, looking at 30 years of data, heat is America's biggest weather killer, ahead of flooding, tornadoes, lightning, and winter storms, in that order. Now some experts want to name heat waves, just like we name tropical systems, and that is to raise awareness and set expectations for an estimated 3.5 billion people expected to cope with deadly heat waves routinely by mid-century. And don't laugh. In Europe 3 years ago, there was a massive heat wave, and they nicknamed it Heat Wave Lucifer. And it
well,
caught on.
Well, I can see why. That's aptly named.
It sounds appropriate, yeah.
So is it good if your name is a heat wave? Like, 'cause that means you're hot, but they can also be deadly. So you're also a murderer.
Heat wave Jordana. Yeah.
I don't know if it's good or bad. I'd kill a lot of people.
I don't know. We'll see.
It wouldn't be good. When we get back, Mike Max joining us. What's going on with the college football season? He's going to enlighten us next.
So, Jor, I saw something last week that made me do a double take. Somebody said, sports is a reward for a functioning society.
Oh, boy.
And I hadn't thought about it in that context. Right now, things not functioning as well as they should or could. There are reports that the Big Ten has voted to cancel the
Don't
fall
you
football
hear
season.
Oh, my God. Don't you hear Mike Max getting out of his car?
Well, yeah. He's always moving. So, yeah.
Can they hear that on the air, David?
He's busy.
No, just you guys.
That's so hilarious. Sorry.
I like it when Mikey sings along to the tunes. I mean, that brightens my day. Look, is there going to be Gophers football? Dan Patrick, during his radio show earlier today, reported the Big Ten presidents voted 12-2 to cancel the upcoming football season. Apparently, Nebraska and Iowa don't want to cancel. The announcement from the Big Ten officially canceling the season is expected tomorrow, according to the Detroit Free Press. Mikey, have you heard anything more about that? I hate sharing a rumor, but everybody's sharing it.
Yeah, the coaches are making a last-ditch effort to try to save it. It just doesn't look like it's very good. If the presidents are in coalition on this thing, it'd be difficult. The only thing that they could get is if they got pushback from other conferences and other presidents that said, you go ahead and do what you're doing, we're playing. Right. That's the only fly in the ointment that could be left is if in other words, if the SEC and the ACC and the Pac-12 said, hey, you guys go ahead, cancel your season. We're playing. See how that plays with your recruits and with what you're trying to get done in terms of total revenue. By the way, we'd like that stake that we're getting in the television money that you're getting. We'll give them more television time from our conference if you're not playing, and we'll just take some more money. So that's the only thing that could change it, but it appears that this is a principle-related decision that the presidents have made that goes above and beyond dollars, and they'll have to figure out the dollars later. Last week, I know they were starting to, you know, ask for philanthropic gifts at the University of Minnesota for athletic department. Tough time to be asking for money right now, too. Oof. So I don't, you know, they're going to get a double whammy here. But if you're positioned well and you save money along the way, you'll be okay. You can wither some of this, but there's no way you can wither all of this.
So if the Big Ten doesn't play at all this year, they're going to be okay next year? And again, is this all sports or just football for right now?
Well, it'll be the football is the big one because that's what pays for everything else. So if they decide they can have a cross-country season or a golf season, that's all fine and dandy. But it's not going to, you're not going to get any revenue. In fact, you lose money on those sports. So football is the one that we're all focused on right now because that's one that drives everything. So it's a good question because they could have other sports that participate. It's just that they don't have much of an impact on the athletic department or on the financial part of it. So that's why everybody's focused on football. But you asked the right question there, Jordana. I don't know if it involves the other sports or not.
I'm writing this down. Jordana asked the right question.
It's just an obvious question because, look, you know, I mean, sports is a reason why people go to a certain school. But also, I'm now learning that many freshmen are getting shut out of their campuses. So there wouldn't be any kids to go watch the sports, certainly. I don't even know if they would be allowed. But I don't know. I mean, just the whole – I can see why the Big Ten did it. It's almost like colleges – I don't want to use the word canceled because it's such a taboo question or that's such a taboo word lately, but everything is different this year. It is not the experience that it was.
Yeah, but you know, the only thing is last week they came out with this extensive plan that they had come out with as to how they were going to play Big Ten football. New schedule, protocols, leave a month at the end of the year so you can play games that don't get played. I don't quite understand why they went to that extent unless one hand doesn't tell the other hand what it's doing. If a few days later you're going to just, you know, come out with this. So, yeah, they spent a lot of money coming up with whatever it was that they came up with that they're not going to use, and they're already going to be in money trouble. So I don't know why they did that, you know?
Hey, Maxie, we've got about a minute left. The Twins take on the Brewers. First pitch right here, 7:10 on CCO. Twins pregame at 6:30. It was a tough weekend. The Twins were swept in Kansas City. Four-game losing streak. What stood out to you? Why did the bats go silent? The pitching didn't work.
Well, the relief pitching was pretty good for Kansas City, but the Twins have got some, and I don't know if this is scouting report generated or not. In other words, if they're learning how to pitch enough guys, that doesn't make that much sense because these guys are swinging from their heels trying to hit home runs. But they're going to have to hit more home runs, and that's it because they're not built now to try to get a guy in first, steal second, bunt him to third, all those kinds of things. That's out the window. So you know, Byron Buxton's come around. That's been the good news. But Miguel Sano, Mitch Garver, Max Kepler, these are key pieces. They're going to just have to hit more home runs. It's really that simple. They're going to have to hit more home runs. It's not about average. It's not because they're not going to hit high averages, but they're going to have to hit more home runs. And these 95 mile an hour sliders are giving them trouble.
Baseball has turned into an arms race, right? I mean, to me, that's a huge shift in the game, right? All about the bombers.
Philosophically, the way the Twins play it is a shift. We're going to hit home runs and build a big bullpen, and we're going to win by committee. That's a big change from, you know, the years gone past. Use the whole field, all those things. But you got to do it well enough. That's all fine as long as you hit home runs. You know what I'm saying? As long as you hit home runs, you're fine. Dobnik tonight, he pitched really well the last time out.
Mike Max, thank you, sir. You take care of yourself, and we'll catch you tomorrow.
Thanks, Mikey. So, should we shut down the country for 6 weeks? One local expert says that could be a solution. We're going to talk about that and much more, revisit the weather, and then ask a local nurse, ask a medical professional that question that people pat around, is this COVID as bad as the flu? Final answer later on the show.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.